Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. Then I will gather them. I will gather them, I will draw them, I will bring them back from the places where I have scattered them, says God. And I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. The remnant, my friend, that he is speaking about, the remnant that God is speaking about here is us. The people of God, those who have been driven out, have now been brought, or are being, or in the process of being, brought back together. In other words, we are leftovers, the remnant, leftovers for Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day, so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remnants. Remnants are things that sometimes you don't want. Like around Tuesday of next week, you're going to be tired of the turkey remnants. Not this coming Tuesday, the next week. After Thanksgiving. After Friday after Thanksgiving. And Saturday after Thanksgiving. And Sunday after Thanksgiving. And Monday after Thanksgiving. After turkey sandwiches. And turkey pot pie. And turkey enchiladas, yes, even turkey enchiladas. And that's turkey flautas. After turkey lasagna and turkey salad and everything you can possibly imagine turkey, you're going to become tired of turkey remnants. You're going to wish you could just get rid of them. In fact, you probably will. Just get rid of them. I have a friend who departs on Friday to go on a long vacation trip. And I asked him, what are you going to do with all your turkey remnants? He said, well, take them with us. Oh, yuck, icky poo. He says, well, we'll make a few sandwiches, and we don't buy much to begin with. We don't do a whole turkey. We just do turkey breasts, and that makes it really easy. You just got the white meat, and you can make some nice sandwiches out of them. I said, so you don't have tons and tons and tons of turkey remnants to get rid of? And he said, no, thank goodness we don't. Who here loves turkey remnants? Now, do you still like them after 5 and 6 days? A few people do. Not nearly as much, though. I know, for me, it's a struggle. After 3 and 4 turkey sandwiches, after some turkey lasagna and some turkey enchiladas, if I see another turkey before Christmas, I think I'm going to be ill. Remnants are like that. Leftovers are like that. Sometimes you're happy to have them. There's few things more wonderful than remnant pizza the morning after. Isn't that yummy? Cold pizza for breakfast. I see Peggy shaking her head no. Yummy. How about meatloaf? A cold meatloaf sandwich. Ooh, yum, yum. I see Gene nodding his head no. Yum, yum. How about leftover roast beef? Nice roast beef sandwich. Yum, yum. See, shaking. Barbecue. Leftover remnant barbecue. And the good thing is, the way we seal it, it's good for a whole year. And then some. Maybe 2 or 3. And we have some to sell. Remnants. Sometimes remnants are wonderful things. Sometimes they're not. Frequently we get tired of remnants. And I want to say to you, my friends, that today it is really good news that God does not get tired of remnants like us. Thank you. We are the remnants of God's people. Looking around us today, we see more pew than person. We think to ourselves, wow, we're a remnant today. Yes, we are. We are the remnants of the people of God, whom God has scattered, and now God is calling back. Why did God scatter us to begin with? Why were the people of God in Israel's day scattered abroad? For several reasons. The sin of their leadership, the sin of those who were appointed to serve as shepherds over them. That's what Jeremiah is saying here, speaking for God at the very beginning of chapter 23. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. We've been scattered because of the evil doings, the sin, the misdirection, the poor teaching, the poor leadership of shepherds. Now, the Israelite people, that was the priests in the temple, the leadership, those who were supposed to know the scriptures and know the law and know the word of God, and the leadership, those who were supposed to know God's will and attend to what God commands, they scattered the people abroad. They sinned, and as a result, the people were scattered. That's what happened. The people of the northern kingdom, when David died, Solomon took power, and when Solomon died, the kingdom was split north and south, the kingdom of Israel. You had 10 tribes in the north and 2 tribes in the south. In the north, you had the largest portion of the population of Israelites. In the south, you had Judah and Benjamin and the Levites who ran the temple. The kingdom in the north set up new temples to worship God in. And very quickly, they adopted the pagan religious practices of those who lived around them. So pretty soon, not only were they worshiping Yahweh, but they were worshiping gods like Baal and Dagon and other deities who aren't deities. They're demons, but we know that now. They were worshiping not just Yahweh, but other gods. Indeed, they would worship the gods of the Assyrians and the gods of the Egyptians and the gods of the Babylonians and the gods of the Philistines and the gods of the Syrians and the gods of the Aratians and just lots of gods that they were worshiping, my friends. And as a result, God punished them. Yahweh sent the armies of Assyria in to defeat the northern kingdom, and it was defeated in 721 B.C., and the northern kingdom was deported. Almost the entire population deported. And the Assyrians moved in some other folk, and those folk married in with the few people who were left, and you got the Samaritans. Aha. The southern kingdom, likewise, they lasted a little better. They had Jerusalem, but unfortunately they had a whole bunch of bad gods who would set up temples to other deities in the promised land, in Jerusalem even, on the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. So you had gods, temples and altars to all these other gods in Jerusalem itself, in the very temple itself. And so God punished the southern kingdom too. In the 500s B.C., the kingdom of Babylon came in and sacked and destroyed the Jewish kingdom of Judah and deported the people into captivity and Babylon. It would be 80 years before they would come back to the ruins of the promised land. 80 years till after the whole lifespan of Daniel, until the people would come back to the promised land. They were a remnant, my friends. They were a remnant. And what was spoken of the northern kingdom of Israel, that you would consider God's people and then not be God's people, and then that you would become considered God's people again, is said of the remnant that we have become, the people of God through Jesus, The people of God through Jesus have been called the people of God, the remnant of God, whom God has called from the four corners of the earth and brought them into one family. We are a remnant. The Jews were a remnant brought back to Palestine. They then were dispersed by the Romans and brought back again. The Jewish people know something about being remnants. And so do we. Because we Gentiles, Gentile Christians, were, before we ever became Christians, we were never considered Yahweh's people. Until God calls us. And through faith in Jesus Christ and by the grace of His blood shed on the cross, we are made part of the family. We are remnants, my friends. Remnants brought in from the four corners of the earth. Remnants called in. Leftovers. For Jesus called in to make the family of God. As we come to the end of this church season, and as we celebrate and recognize today that Christ is our King, He is our Master, He is our Lord and our Savior, and He is our ruler. As we celebrate the end of the church year, and next Sunday, as we begin the beginning of the new church year with the first Sunday of Advent, we recognize that we are a remnant people gathered from the four corners of the earth, gathered from many different cultures, many different ethnicities, many different nations, gathered together in one place under one Lord and Savior, under one ruler and King, Jesus Christ, to become the family of God. We talk about the Lord as our King. What do we mean by that? I mean, we're Americans, all right? We Americans don't have kings. We don't have lords. In fact, when someone lords it over us, we don't like it. It's a negative term. We elect, supposedly, our leadership. What do we mean when we say Jesus is our King and our Lord? We mean He's our ruler. He is in charge of us. Huh? Yeah. He is in charge of us. Yeah. Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our brother. Yes, indeed. All of those images are true. Jesus is our Savior. But Jesus is also our King, our Master, our ruler. If we're not comfortable with that wording, that terminology, if we're not comfortable with those terms, then my friends, we need to think very carefully about what we're doing here. Well, I don't want to have any ruler but myself. I'm a kingdom unto myself. I'm in charge of my life. Really? How far can you be in charge of your life when you're in a box being lowered into the ground? What good is your mastery then? Unless you have a King, a Master, a Lord, a ruler who's in charge of your life here today, you don't have much hope when they lower you into the ground. When that roll is called up yonder, you won't be there if you are your own Master and King. My friends, we proclaim today on Christ the King Sunday that Jesus is our King, and that means He's in charge of us. We're not in charge of ourselves. We don't control ourselves. We're either under the passions of sin and death, or we're under Jesus' rulership. There is no middle ground. There is no fence to sit on. There is no middle of the road to walk. You're either under the passions and control of sin and death, or under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We recognize that today as we gather here on this last Sunday of the church year. We recognize our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's kingship over us, rulership over us, mastery over us. And that means that we say, Lord, do with us as you will. Now, before you say that, that's a pretty big statement. do with us? Let's personalize that. Lord, do with me as you will. Say that with me. Lord, do with me as you will. Let's do it again. Lord, do with me as you will. Now, do you mean it? If you think you do, just wait. Because Jesus will ask of you everything. He doesn't want just part of you. He doesn't want just a little bit of you. He doesn't want just 1 hour of you on Sunday. He doesn't want just 2 hours of you on Sunday. He doesn't want 3 hours of you, 2 on Sunday morning, 1 on Sunday night. He doesn't want 4 hours from you, 2 on Sunday morning, 1 on Sunday night, and 1 on Wednesday night. He doesn't want just 5 hours of you, or 6, or 7, or 8, or 9, or 10. He wants every single bit of you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No vacations off from God. No time off for good behavior. He wants all of you. Every little bit of you. So if you say, Lord, do with me as you will, expect His will to call for all of you. Every little bit of you. And you can trust the Lord that He won't misuse or abuse you. Now we had shepherds, the Israelites had shepherds, priests and kings and rulers and teachers who messed up, who screwed up, who dropped the ball, who led the people astray and they were scattered as a result. We don't have to worry about that with Jesus. He will never lead us astray. He will always lead us in God's path. Sometimes you have to worry about His under-shepherds, people like me, who God appoints to serve as your shepherd here. But I have to answer to Him. Notice what, that's no different than in Jeremiah. Notice what God says to them in Jeremiah. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them, so I will attend to you. And God did. Historically, He attended to those people. He attended to them real good. They got their heads chopped off. They got themselves killed by the Assyrians and the Babylonians, those whose gods they worshipped. God took care of them. He attended to them. And my friends, God will attend to me. Yep. I will have to stand before the Lord in glory and answer to God for my shepherdship of you, of every one of you, of every one of the congregations I have ever pastored or will ever pastor, and of every soul here today. I will have to stand before God and answer for how I have proclaimed the gospel and how I have taught and shepherded this congregation. And God will attend to me. Your responsibility is to follow the orders of Jesus, to follow His commandment, His kingship, His lordship, and frankly, the guidance that God gives me to give to you. And when that guidance is in accord with Scripture, we all had better obey it. Jesus is our King. He's our Lord and our Savior. He's our friend. Praise God, He's our friend. He died for us so that we need not face eternal death. He died for us so that we could re-enter the presence of the Father. He died for us. What better King could we possibly have than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? As we close out this church year, let us give thanks and praise to God for our King Jesus, for the majesty that He has over us, the lordship, the leadership, the guidance, the rulership of Jesus. And as we enter into the Advent season, and as we look forward to His coming in glory, and as we look forward to remembering and celebrating His birth in Bethlehem of Judea over 2,000 years ago, as we enter this season of preparation and celebration, let us always give thanks and praise to God that we have a wonderful King, a wonderful High Shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord, who guides us and leads us and loves us and died for us, that we might never fear. Say it with me. I'm going to change the wording this time. Lord, I give myself to your leadership. Do with me as you will. Notice there's a difference there. We are actually turning ourselves over to Him. Lord, I give myself over to your leadership. Do with me as you will. With a Lord and Savior like Jesus Christ, with a King like Jesus, we can say that and trust in Him and know that He will tend us and take care of us, lead us and guide us. What we must do is in faith, obey His call. In faith, do what He says. Let us be that faithful people, that wonderful remnant, that leftover for Jesus, that does what He calls us to do. Let us truly act in faith and be His remnant people. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen. Amen.